Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, a Wednesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show on a beautiful fall afternoon. Just a quick programming note, off tomorrow and Friday, back on Monday. And, you know, yesterday when we started the show, we kind of spun the wheel of topics because there was so much, and I think we're in that area again today. I want to touch on some of the stuff from the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. I've been watching almost nonstop. Much of it is very boring and repetitive. I mean, she's eminently qualified. I think that I understand Republicans would be playing some of these games too, and they will eventually when Joe Biden wants to put 3-4 more members on the Supreme Court. But some of this has just been utterly embarrassing, and we'll give you some options or some examples in just a moment. First, just, and this gets in the weeds just a little bit, but let me share this with you, because there's a New York Times, I'm sorry, very important to get this right. There's a New York Post story that was in this morning's paper and online. Smoking gun email reveals how Hunter Biden introduced Ukrainian businessmen to Veep debt. I'm guessing that Rush touched on this quite a bit. I did not hear his show, but just in case those of you are tuning in, it's an interesting story. I think there's some questions about the story. The story says that Hunter Biden, his son, introduced his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to a top executive at Burisma. Remember all this stuff. So, and it goes on, and there's these, it's bizarre, because what they claim in the story is that this was turned up on a computer that went to a repair shop, and all this stuff was found on a hard drive. There's a 12-minute video. I've not seen the video. There's a video that appears to show Hunter Biden doing drugs. But beyond that, okay, I don't know the veracity of the reporting, the story. What I do know is the New York Times is full of crap half the time. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch has so many factual errors and bias, it's not even funny. The New York Post puts this story out. You can question the story. You can have questions. You can, I think investigate whether or not there's evidence that this is true. But what's happened is Facebook made a move, and they claim to be a neutral platform. They pulled that story. They would not allow it to be posted, or at least in limited form, on Facebook. Then Twitter got involved, and they did the same thing this afternoon. So if you were to post this story right now, or even try to send it to someone in a direct message, you would be prevented from doing so, unless they changed it here in the last few minutes. The editor of the New York Post said, or an editor said, this is big tech, a big tech information coup. This is digital civil war. I, an editor at the New York Post, one of the nation's largest papers by circulation, can't post one of our own stories that details corruption by a major party presidential candidate. Now, this is the reason this is important. I think, by the way, if you support Joe Biden, you should be outraged by this. If you support Donald Trump, if you don't support any of them, you should be outraged by what's happening on these social media platforms. Now, you don't have to participate. I don't have to be on Twitter or Facebook. I kind of do because of my job. So you have that option. But this is a real interesting move. And when you start to take sides, and let's be honest, okay, we know that they take sides, but this is blatantly taking sides. All right, let's get to what I don't want to start with here this afternoon. I told Dave all these things. I always go through this. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start with that. And then I never do. Right, Klein? So let me see. let's do the wheel of audio. All right, I got, let's see, Maisie Arano. I have Amy Klobuchar. It landed on, this is good, Ben Sasse. It landed on Ben Sasse. So Ben Sasse, Nebraska senator, you don't get a lot of this. And I'm glad we're going to start with this on the Wheel of Topics and the Wheel of Audio, because this was a little levity at the hearing. And I think we can all, in St. Louis at the very least, get on board in a bipartisan way to hate the Houston Astros. Let's get on board here with Ben Sasse.
I'd like to pivot from constitutional structure to baseball for a minute, if you will bear with me. Any of your kids play baseball or softball?
Two of our boys had a very brief career in baseball.
Gotcha. Well, it's obviously not as great a sport as football, but we can still call it the American pastime. And I'd like to talk about the Houston Astros, who are miserable cheaters. Sorry, Cornyn and Cruz, but both of the Texas senators sit on this committee. But I think all baseball fans know that the Houston Astros cheat. They steal signs. They bang on cans. They've done a whole bunch of miserable things historically, and they deserve to be punished probably more than they have been. But tonight is game four.
Thank goodness the First Amendment protects that right for him to express that erroneous opinion.
If you want to defend cheating, that is certainly the prerogative of the senior senator. And the junior senator from Texas now rushes into the room to do some homerism.
It was going so well.
I noticed that Ted is wearing a Lone Star State flag, but not an Astros mask.
There you go, Ted Cruz and John. By the way, you know, and I haven't always been the biggest fan of Ted Cruz, just because, and some of you might remember in 2016, I just think he's kind of a creepy guy. Or he has been creepy. Maybe it's just his image, because people sometimes in the media are different. I've never met Senator Cruz, never had him on the show. I might like him, but I kind of think he's creepy. Okay, that's just, some people won't like that. But he shredded the Democrats this morning. I mean, completely shredded some of the nonsense from yesterday. So let me get to, and I don't, that audio would take too long to get into, but it was very, very effective. Here's Amy Klobuchar, who ran for president from Minnesota, asking a silly question. And I love this response from the next Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett.
If you are confirmed, the Supreme Court will have not one, not two, but three justices. You, Justice Kavanaugh, and Chief Justice Roberts, who worked on behalf of the Republican Party in matters related to the Bush v. Gore case. Do you think that that's a coincidence?
Senator Klobuchar, if you're asking me whether I was nominated for this seat because I worked on Bush versus Gore for a very brief period of time as a young associate, that doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, no, it doesn't, because it's kind of a silly question. What's the point of that? So you had, they were all the leading lawyers, some of the leading lawyers in the country at that time. Elena Kagan worked in the Obama administration, worked for Joe Biden. Who cares? But they don't have anything. They really don't. They know she's qualified. She's going to be confirmed. By the way, she's going to be confirmed by this weekend. This thing's going to wrap up. They're still going through the nonsense this afternoon. Let me highlight the biggest, ridiculous moment of this whole hearing. Yesterday, with Maisie Arano from Hawaii scolding Amy Coney Barrett because she used the wrong word. She used sexual preference. That was mean and hateful of her.
This morning, Senator Feinstein asked you a question about the Supreme Court's 2015 decision in Obergefell v. Hodges, a case in which the court recognized the constitutional right to same-sex marriage. And I was disappointed that you wouldn't give a direct answer on whether you agreed with the majority in that case, or if you instead agree with your mentor, Justice Scalia, that no such right exists in the Constitution. So even though you didn't give a direct answer, I think your response did speak volumes. Not once, but twice, you used the term sexual preference to describe those in the LGBTQ community. And let me make clear, sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term.
It's ridiculous. And by the way, I have an update on this that's even more outrageous. It's very hateful, right? She apologized. Dave, do we have a little of the apology?
One, you know, I've said a number of times during the hearing that I can't comment or grade existing precedent. And I want to be clear that the point of doing that is not to say whether I agree or disagree with it. It's not to implicitly signal that I do disagree with it. It's designed to be neutral. So in saying that I couldn't opine on whether Obergefell was rightly decided or not, I was certainly not indicating disagreement with it. The point of not answering was to simply say it's inappropriate for me to say a response. And the second point was to say that I certainly didn't mean and, you know, would never mean to use a term that would cause any offense in the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. Well, she apologized for that. And the and I'm glad she apologized for it, because it's not like the Democratic nominee for president has ever used that term, has he?
America's the only nation in the world that when we've gone through a major crisis, we've almost always been able to come get through it and come out stronger. So I'm hopeful. I'm going to need you if we win. I'm going to need you to help this time rebuild the backbone of this country, the middle class, but this time bring everybody along, regardless of color, sexual preference, their backgrounds.
Hateful, bigoted Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Look, the whole thing is just, it's just ridiculous. And by the way, just to highlight this even more, and I'm not making this up. Many of you are going to think I'm making this up. This is from The Onion, which is a satirical publication, or Babylon Bee, which is a satirical site on Twitter. The definition, the actual definition of preference, if you go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary online, has been changed. It was changed yesterday. And it actually says now, and that you can match it up with the way they have the Wayback Machine on Twitter. So you can see where this stood a few weeks ago. And they don't have the word offensive. Now, on the fifth part of the definition of preference, it says offensive. And then there's a subnote, if you will. What's going on? I mean, it's, and for those people who just completely despise Donald Trump and they want him out of the White House and just to go away, stuff like this helps. It really does. 217, we're back with more. John Hancock, how much in danger is Ann Wagner of losing this congressional seat here in St. Louis? We'll talk about it next.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
All right, welcome back. It is 220 at the Voice of St. Louis. And you know what? This is Hancock's coming up next. He's going to appreciate this. Dave, let's play the... let's play the audio of what happened 35 years ago today. You probably only heard this a few times over the course of your life if you've lived in St. Louis, but it was historic.
Cardinals have left 10 men on, and they left a lot of men on early. Had a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy,
yes!
Folks. Crazy. It's a home run.
You can't hear that enough. There's no doubt. Dan O'Neill is going to look back at that with us, Stephanie. I think Kevin's going to join as well. And Hancock, that's just, you can't hear Jack enough on that call. Can you?
It's the best. And, you know, that was the first home run Ozzie Smith ever hit left-handed.
There's a little nugget for you. By the way, you know, the only thing about that, I love those memories. And the Jack Clark home run was Friday, so we'll kind of look back at that. My memories of that really are haunted by, I lived in this house at 10th and Locust in downtown Columbia, then right across from the Greyhound bus station, and there were a bunch of Royals fans that lived in this house with me in these split-up apartments, and they harassed me so much. So, unfortunately, I'm haunted still by the Kansas City Royals in 1985. Let's talk politics, though, here, John, because I want to focus on these congressional races. Look, we're getting hammered. I was watching, and by the way, I was so happy to have Tuesday Night Football last night, even though Josh Allen did not get the 34 points I needed to win my fantasy game, and I'm 0-5. But ad after ad after ad, and these congressional races in our region featuring Republican incumbents like Mike Boss and Rodney Davis and Ann Wagner here in Missouri. They're tight races, and there could be some upsets. Let's play the ad, one of the ads from Jill Shoup, the Democratic challenger for Ann Wagner in the second. Here's what it sounds like.
Why are you not supporting Ann Wagner?
Ann Wagner is in the pocket of Big Pharma and the insurance industry.
I read somewhere that Ann Wagner voted against protecting our health care.
I love that part. I read somewhere. She's got a mask on. I read somewhere. Okay, but beyond the substance, John, Ann Wagner could lose this race. I don't believe the 9-point spread that was in the opt-in poll that we heard about this week. But look, the reality is the Democrats are pouring money into this district because they see an opportunity, right?
They are, and it's one of those districts, these suburban districts all over the country, and there's a dwindling number of them that are held by Republicans now. They have been a magnet for campaign cash, and the Democrats, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, they are flush with money, and they've poured a ton of it into Missouri and into those two races you mentioned in Illinois, and it's by far the most aggressive effort the Democrats have ever mounted in any of these seats.
So my friend Josh Krasauer, who's a regular contributor to my program, he's at the National Journal, the politics editor, wrote a piece about several of these races, Senate and House races that Republicans hold that could go in another direction. He pointed out that this is, you know, Todd Akin's old seat, how times have changed. Now, Josh knows, and he was reminded that this district is different than it was. The district is cut differently than it was when Todd Akin was in there, Lincoln County and other parts of St. Charles County, which are very red. Having said that, this is a seat that Republicans should be able to hold on to. Do you think she loses, John?
I don't. I think Ann's going to win. Democrats, I do. Yeah, you know, the problem you have with Jill Shoup, a lot of the Democrat recruits across the country were people that did not have a voting record. You know, they would go out and find candidates, and I tried to find candidates who had some sort of military background and no voting record. And then they could kind of position them however they want within that district. The problem they have with Jill Shoup is she's got the 20 years worth of a voting record, and it's left. I mean, it's not liberal. It's way left. And I think that contrast is going to be enough for Ann Wagner to win re-election. But it's close, man. There's no question about it.
But, you know, I think that, and I'm just telling you what's kind of hitting me over the head just watching the ads, I think the things that might resonate, if you don't like Donald Trump, and if you're trying to send a message, that's where incumbents get into trouble that are tied to Donald Trump. That seems to be the strategy that she's sort of going after, and for her, you know, allegiance to Trump, for not breaking with the party. I mean, I think they've highlighted some things on her voting record. So we know that St. Louis County is going to go for Biden, right? So why would that not indicate that Ann Wagner might not let this slip away?
Well, she has been consistently running ahead of the president in that district, and she ran ahead of the president in that district 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, I'm sorry. And 2 years ago, she ran ahead of Josh Hawley in that district. So, you know, I think there is a certain amount of goodwill and just accomplishment that Ann Wagner brings to this race that, you know, hopefully, if you're a Republican like I am, hopefully that will make the difference. And, you know, time's going to tell, but it's definitely, you know, it's a nip and tuck.
What about some of these other things that are happening around the country? And we're not all that dialed in. Lindsey Graham's up for re-election. There's some other Senate races. There's a congressional race in Minnesota that is interesting. Are these, because I think a lot of people are, and maybe I should start with this, John. It's funny because I sent a friend a message yesterday. I've been unwilling to go on the record with a prediction. I kind of have a prediction, but I don't want to say it because I'm always wrong. So maybe it doesn't matter. Do you have a prediction on the presidential race?
Not really. Okay. You know, here's the thing. If the race doesn't break again, in other words, if the trajectory we're on now holds till November the 3rd, then I think Joe Biden's going to win, and I think he's going to win fairly handily. But campaigns are all about the last time the line breaks, the public opinion line. And if it breaks back towards Donald Trump between now and the election day, and, you know, there's reason to believe and think that that could very well happen, well, then it's a different ballgame. And, of course, you're looking at five or six states, period. And that's really the only thing at this point that matters. And so without my prediction would be to hedge it. If there's no break in the trajectory of the race, Biden wins. If the race breaks back towards Trump, he's in it.
Yeah, and you're going to have some good economic news, I think, that's going to come out. So that might help. But then you have Twitter, and the president is prone to tweet things that tend to get attention. Sometimes he likes that attention. Maybe sometimes he doesn't. You know, there's a fair amount of criticism out there. There's no debate this week. Savannah Guthrie will have a town hall with Trump on NBC, and ABC is doing a Joe Biden thing at the same time, which makes no sense whatsoever, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And to air them both, you know, against each other, it's what's going to happen. because the people who love Trump are going to tune in and watch Trump, and the people that love Biden are going to tune in and watch Biden, and it's not going to make any difference whatsoever unless one of them says something really stupid that goes viral and becomes an issue. That's the threat at this point, right? If any of these public appearances that either one of these guys makes, you know, they're either one of them is capable of a gaffe, and a major gaffe at this stage could be very hurtful.
Tim Alberto over at Politico had a couple of columns. Yesterday was three funny feelings about 2020. Today was three more funny feelings about 2020. And the one thing that he did point out, and he's, you know, I think we're all being very careful with predictions because we've all seen what's happened. But he points to some of the things, and I know Forrest Center Lamping has been on my show talking about the enthusiasm gap, which was very clear in 2016. But
yeah.
He even pointed out in Politico, the art signs are telling people something. There is that enthusiasm gap. There was this thing on, and I don't know if this means anything on Facebook, but you know, you can press like. Are you familiar with this thing on Facebook that people are doing, John, with the number of friends that you have that like Joe Biden compared to Donald Trump? Okay, it's kind of stupid, but let's see what happens. So you go to Joe Biden's Facebook page and you see how many of your friends on Facebook or your ex girlfriends like that page. Then you do the same for Donald Trump. So what are your results? Mine were, by the way, 681 for Trump, 146 for Biden, which doesn't really surprise me. I got a lot of listeners that are on my page, and that doesn't really surprise me. I don't know if there's any science to that whatsoever, but is there any science to anything right now? I guess that's why I toss it out there.
Well, you know, there are some sensitivity indexes that have been created online that looks at the entire amount of content online, and they have proven to be somewhat predictive. On political campaigns, not just in the U.S., but around the world. So it's really a fascinating little science. Now, I have not seen those analyses as it relates to Trump, Biden, and the key swing states. But, I mean, certainly, Trump has the benefit of the passionate support behind him. And you know, Biden's, I think most of the passion Biden is anti-Trump.
Well, that's right. And then that begs the question, can you do that? You might be able to, because I think the numbers and the margin of error for the president is very, very narrow. I always point, you know, and I did this, actually retook a look at the numbers this week from Wisconsin, because, John, you know, I've always kind of cited the presidential race in Wisconsin from 2016, just because it wasn't that Donald Trump, in fact, Donald Trump had fewer votes than Mitt Romney. He's never admitted that. He had fewer votes than Mitt Romney. Hillary Clinton had 240,000 fewer votes than Barack Obama. So if you just do the math there, you get African American turnout to come up just a little bit in Wisconsin, and Biden wins Wisconsin. But you know, again, a lot can change,
nobody,
I guess, between now and Election Day.
And nobody saw Wisconsin coming for Trump in 2016, and that's probably as good of an example as any of why it's kind of foolhardy at this point to make a bold prediction, because we just simply don't know.
Yep, that's exactly right. John, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. John Hancock from Hancock and Kelly with, I almost said Kelly and Hancock. Wow, that would have been a mistake. I know Michael's always lobbying for that. 2:31, we got to get to a break. We're coming back with some of the other nonsense on the county council last night. Chief Fitch with an update.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, all this stuff on the St. Louis County Council continues to get very interesting, and there's a lot of passion out there. It's funny because I don't even think you're supposed to put yard signs out in my neighborhood. You know, neighborhoods, subdivisions have covenants where you can't do things, but there's a couple of Paul Berry signs in my neighborhood. And I think a lot of people are more active because they're mad about what the St. Louis County Council, Lisa Clancy and Sam Page, have done, and they want more of a voice. So the meeting last night did not go exactly as planned, and they're picking it up this afternoon. St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch in the thick of it all on the Quiver River Electric guest line this afternoon. Chief, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
So let's run this down. There were, you know, when we kind of had a little bit of a letter writing campaign earlier this summer, there were, I guess, 114 at one of those meetings, and then it went into the 200s, and then it went up from there. And now, how many letters were submitted last night to the county council on these issues?
There were more than 2,200.
All right, so it appeared, and this is where we need some help here, because the county council chair, Lisa Clancy, you, Chief, you can tell me if I'm wrong on any of this, all right? We'll see if I get this hot take right. Lisa Clancy and some of the other Democrats on the county council weren't too crazy about hearing from everyone when some of these other letters were written to the council. But now when you had 2,200, they wanted all of them read last night. Was there something more to that by any chance?
Well, they sent out robocalls yesterday. Lisa and Sam Page and some of their groups sent out robocalls. They sent out group emails saying to write in, get your letters in at 12:01 on Tuesday morning so they get read first. So they did that for this particular situation. However, it really backfired on them because more than 60%, we were keeping count last night, the pros and the cons, more than 60% of the 200-plus letters that were written read last night were still in favor of the oversight bills that are proposed. So they did not get this big, huge turnout that would overwhelm the people that are in favor of this legislation like they thought they would.
So, but is it your opinion that with the effort to read those letters last night, that was in a sort of in some way a filibuster, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. They're hoping to wear us down, get us to drop the legislation. We've made offers to compromise. We've talked about alternative legislation that we think will be fine with us as well, that will provide the oversight that we think is necessary of the county executive. And all we've gotten is crickets. So I don't think they are in any mood whatsoever to have any oversight of Sam Page. And he's made it clear. A media person asked him a few weeks ago, is there anything he would support that would provide oversight to his orders? And he says no. So I think that's where you see this, is he wants all of that power for himself. He doesn't want it questioned. And that's where we are today.
All right. So what's the next step now? Because the meeting, what happened last night? You basically didn't go on?
So the letters were read into the record. However, a recess was taken until noon today, and we will have many more hours of letter reading today.
And then what? After many, is the clerk reading the letters again? The poor clerk. She's
It's very, not just. I mean, they're taking turns. There's three of them reading them, but it really is. It's kind of torture to them, to be completely honest with you. We tried. Mark Harder and I tried to stop it last night because we felt like we had a good flavor of what the comments were, pro and con. There were plenty of pro and plenty of con. At some point, they get redundant, although we think people want to be heard. So I'm certainly willing to let it go on longer. We'll see what happens. But clearly, their strategy is to try to wear us down and try to get us to drop the legislation.
But, I mean, there are going to be hundreds of comments from people that are involved in the youth sports issue. I mean, there's a Facebook page. There's thousands of people that are involved in that. I'm certainly dialed into that. So there are people that have plenty of opinions. I don't know how it would be weighted. You know, if it's sort of 50-50, it's at 60-40, or wherever we would be right now. Do you have a sense of that?
Well, if you just think about what was read into the record last night, it's about 60-40 in favor, so pro legislation to oversee the county executive and the public health orders. However, I have to give credit to Lisa Clancy and Sam Page. They've done a very good job, effectively, of tricking people into believing that this is about ending the mask mandate. I mean, that's what they're telling people is, you know, if this passes, the first thing they're going to do is get rid of the mask. That's the first thing that's going to happen. And that's not what this is about at all, but that's what they're telling people.
So that's interesting. So I didn't realize there was that angle. So then after all the letters are read and the clerk's voices are gone and we send lozenges and all that stuff, then what? Do you vote on this legislation and do you have the support? Where's Rita Days on this?
Well, I will tell you that Rita Days has been very solid through this. She believes in oversight of the county executive by the legislative branch, and not speaking for her because the vote hasn't been taken yet, but she's been very solid through this. I think, like all of us, we've been burned by this county executive where we trusted him in the past and thought he was a partner of ours in county government, and then found out later he wasn't. He was acting on his own and in his own behalf. So I think she has experienced that for herself now. And at some point, he'll burn Lisa Clancy at some point when he doesn't need her anymore, and he'll burn Kelly Dunaway when he doesn't need her anymore. That's his history.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess for this vote, when these votes come, are you expecting defeat again?
No, I'm expecting it to pass.
Okay. In fairness, you've had that expectation before, right?
The last time, no. I would tell you that it was 50-50. This time I feel much, much stronger about it this time. The old legislation that did not pass was different in that it put it on the ballot and had to go to the voters. That was the one that failed. This one, we decided after we did more research, doesn't need to go to the voters because the council passed ordinances to give the county executive that power and to give the public health director that power. And if we pass ordinances giving the power, we can certainly oversee it.
Do you and Councilman Hart, I don't know if you can speak to him, but on the mask issue, do you think we should have a mask mandate?
Well, I would tell you what I would like to do is be able to question the county executive, hear how he's making these decisions, and then let us decide. Let us decide as a group. Do we think there should be? Do we think there shouldn't be? We've never had that opportunity. That's all we're asking for.
County Councilman Tim Fitch, keep us posted. Enjoy the day.
All right, Mark. Will do. Thanks.
Yeah, well, they're in the middle of all that right now, the letter reading, so we hopefully will know this afternoon or maybe tonight what's going to happen next in the crazy St. Louis County Council, always entertaining, never really productive, it seems. 2:46, we're coming back with more.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
Couple of stories that I would recommend that I could sit here and just read them to you on the radio, but that would kind of be boring. But they're one story I would recommend. The other one I'm going to share here just in brief form because it's so crazy. And it's a little PG-13 too, but there is a story that's in the Hollywood Reporter today. And it details, put this on the Mark Reardon Show Facebook page so you can check that out. And look, even if you like Trump, you got to read this story because it's about the Apprentice and how the Apprentice came together and what Trump, I mean, everything in here, if you read it, Trump wanted to have more time in the boardroom. He didn't like the competition because he wanted it to be all about him, which, you can kind of see that. So nothing really doesn't fit the narrative in that story. One other entertainment note that I will mention this afternoon is a great trailer that just came out. Ron Howard tweeted it out, the great director and actor, and it features this movie that he made that I'm very disappointed that's not going to go into the theaters. Netflix movie. It's going to be streamed on November 24th around Thanksgiving time. And it's based on a book called Hillbilly Elegy. And Amy Adams and Glenn Close and Gabe Basso, who's an actor from St. Louis. I've known Gabe for a long time. He was in the movie Super 8. He actually took a little break from acting for a while. His sister is a great actress as well. Very talented family. So I'm excited about Hillbilly Elegy. We'll get Gabe on the horn and talk to him about that. Hopefully, maybe I can get Ron Howard on the phone here or do a little video chat with Ron Howard. That would kind of be fun as we get into November. All right, so just going to make it clear here that this is a PG-13 rated story, okay? Just so you know, you have a chance if you don't like salacious material that the host really does enjoy, this is the time to tune out or make sure if the kids are in the car, they don't listen to this. But I know that you're all waiting for this. You're like, wait a second, what is he going to talk about? And this is from New Orleans and the newspaper down there. So it's a real story. The lights inside St. Peter and Paul Roman Catholic Church in Pearl River were on later than usual on September 30th. So a passerby stopped to take a closer look. Peering inside, the onlooker saw the small parish's pastor half naked, having sex with two women on the altar. According to court documents, the women were dressed in corsets and high-heeled boots. There were sex toys and stage lighting. And a mobile phone as well as a separate camera were mounted on the tripods, recording it all. The eyewitness took a video. Can you imagine walking by a church and seeing this? Called the Pearl River police who arrived at the church and viewed the recording. They arrested the Reverend Travis Clark, pastor of the St. Peter's and Paul since 2019, on obscenity charges. The Archdiocese of New Orleans announced the priest's arrest on October 1st, would not give specifics. New details, however, have emerged that paint a lurid picture of a priest recording himself engaged in sexual role play while desecrating a sacred place within the church. Public records additionally show that one of the women, Mindy Dixon, I'm shocked, I don't know about you, that her name is Mindy. That seems weird to me. Mindy Dixon, 41, an adult film actor who also works for hire as a dominatrix. On a social media account associated with Dixon, a September 29th post says she was on her way to New Orleans to meet another dominatrix and defile a house of God. So Dixon and Melissa Chang booked on the same count. They appear to be into very black hair and the whole goth look. I guess that's what this guy was into. Again, I'm only sharing because how often do you have a story like that? And in all seriousness, there have been this sort of tacks on to a lot of different scandals that have befallen the Archdiocese of New Orleans. You had another recent case where there was a pastor down there that admitted that he sexually abused a minor in 2013, and he got added to the list of clergy down there that, you know, have been tagged with molestation and serious, serious allegations. So this one's just kind of weird and salacious, but they've had their problems in New Orleans. No doubt about that. We'll come back. I want to get into the Breonna Taylor case a little bit from a different perspective. Kenneth Walker, her boyfriend, who obviously shot at officers and lost his girlfriend that night, did an interview with Gayle King. I thought it was a great interview, and I think he's telling the truth. But, a few things missing on Gayle's part, so we'll get into that in the next hour and have this voracious debate on candy corn with Rennie Knott. Looking forward to that. It's all coming up here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.